We know that, you know, so I want to talk about, you know, we have that question, what does revival look like, or what will it look like in America? And then we know the word, you know, in the world is finding Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. If you don't know the Lord, if you don't know Jesus as your loving, faithful, kind Redeemer to wash your sins away, amen. Today can be that day that you would find Him as your Savior. We know that it says in 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again. Anybody here been born again? And not as seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living, enduring Word of God. Isn't it amazing that the message of the gospel, how it changes a life? Isn't that amazing that how God has grown you or is going to grow you? It's going to be from the Word of God, His Rhema Word becoming life to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then I started reading the end of Malachi. You know, you've heard of the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, right? And it was written about 400 years before Christ came on the scene. But it's the last. I want to look at I want to start out because I was thinking about revival. And Malachi 4:5 says this, behold, I will send you Elijah. Malachi 4:5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And we know that at the time of Jesus, right, that was who? When he came on the scene, John the Baptist, right? Where when they were coming down, Jesus was coming down with, was it Peter, James, and John? When he was transfigured on that mountain and he came down and he started talking about John the Baptist, that this was Elijah. You know, we need some Elijah, as a matter of fact, the spirit of Elijah again today in this generation. Amen? I know he's doing that. But we're not going to go that route. So behold, I will send you Elijah before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And what's that mean by that great and great and dreadful day? Well, it's right above that in the beginning of that chapter. It says in Malachi 4:1-2, for behold, the day is coming. It's not now. So he says, behold, the day. And by the way, this happened 2,000 years. He says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I would send Elijah. Did you know that coming and John the Baptist, that was, now it's been 2,000 years. But still, this is what's going to happen. It says, behold, the day is coming. It's not here yet, saints, burning like an oven. And all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness, hallelujah, that's Jesus Christ. Who is the Son of Righteousness? Jesus Christ shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Now some of us are already practicing that. Grow fat like stall-fed calves. Amen. I'll leave that alone. And then this last scripture, the last, very last scripture, young people, hopefully you're hearing today. Very last scripture, because this has to do with you. Has to do with all of us. It says, and he will turn, the last scripture, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Aren't you glad that Jesus came? Aren't you glad he came and redeemed you? Aren't you glad that you're blessed if you know him and you're not walking in any curse? Is that you? That's me. Amen. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit. Amen. He leads and guides me. He blesses me. I have my struggles, but I'm more than a conqueror. Is that you? Amen. And so that's that last scripture. I find it interesting. He could have said, God could have said a lot of things to the prophet Malachi. He could have said, you know, he did not say to turn your hearts towards, or the children towards God. But we do turn our hearts towards God. Amen. He could have said that. He did not say repent of their wicked sins. But yes, they needed to repent and accept Christ when he became that sacrifice. There's many things that he could have said on that last verse. But he says, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, That's what he says. You know what? What a revival America is going to look like in our community, in our families, is a healing of hearts and restorations of understanding, of honor and love to, you know, to those, our parents even. See, we have a couple generations now that don't understand honoring or loving. Stick with me. Man, the trouble, getting off track already. I can guarantee you that the troubles we have in society today have everything to do with not understanding, loving, and honoring parents. And I'm not saying it's even the kids' fault when you have generations that walked away from God. They know nothing about, they haven't been trained, they know nothing about honor. So when you have that, you start getting DAs that know nothing, district attorneys, who know nothing about honoring parents, so they think it's all right that those run amok. Never trained, never knew anything about God, never knew anything about the Word of God. So they think, so letting people off, dangerous criminals, all is rooted and grounded in not honoring their mothers and fathers. Isn't that amazing? That really is the case. That is the case. See, as God moves in this nation, as we go through this, God is going to restore and train people with wounded hearts and souls about honoring, even honoring those who wounded them. Not to let people get away from, but so that we can understand our relationship with the Lord. We can have relationship with others. There's so many people nowadays who don't want to be in leadership. We've got a vacuum of true leadership, and a lot of it's because people don't understand what honoring authority, starting with a mom and dad, looks like. They haven't been taught to be leaders. Thank God, God is raising up people, amen, youth leaders that are going to teach the youth what it is to honor and respect authority, starting with your parents. It starts with your parents. Healing of hearts and restoration of understanding of honor and love. Honor means just to give value or to esteem. Some people have been so damaged, they're so wounded by people that they don't give those people any value or esteem at all, and it actually starts then manifesting in every area of their life. You still sticking with me? Thank you, God. And so when I was reading that scripture into Malachi, turning the hearts of the children to the Father, and the fathers to the children, I came to this scripture in Ephesians 6:1. You know this one, I'm sure. I'm actually just going to read first the verse, three verses. Children obey. And this is Paul, by the way. This is the apostle of grace through faith. But we're going to see exactly how this is applied and how it works. So don't tune me out yet, okay? Don't tune me out. Hear me. Hear what the Lord would have to say to you today. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And all the parents that have young kids, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. And then it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Did you know this, young people? I'll keep talking over there. With a promise. Honoring your mother and father, it says. It's the first commandment with a promise. And this is the promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. So it may turn, this is a promise, this is Paul. So it may turn out well with you. Now I'm going to say some things here that nothing, but I've seen people that didn't even understand it, who weren't trained because of wounds and stuff, who did not honor a mother and father, and we'll talk about that, and it didn't turn out well for them. And they didn't even know it. They didn't even know it. They may have had some religion in their lives. They may know all about the power of God and his demonstrations, but there always remained a wound or something in their soul realm that never was touched. It infected their entire life. I'm telling you something that God's showing me in my own life. This isn't just for people, or I'm pointing fingers at you. This is for me. I have my dad, my biological dad, he's passed on. He's long passed on, and yet we'll talk about it. It's still for me this morning. Do you love him this morning? So that it may turn out well for you. And it's not that because God is going to be against you. Something about when we don't understand honor and respect because of abuse or woundedness, that we can't grow or understand our own authority, walk in an authority on this earth. See, there's a reason God said, I'm going to turn the hearts of the children towards the Father and the fathers toward the children. There is a reason for that, because it's the same reason today. That is what's going to happen. As God turns around those young people, I guarantee you the first thing is going to be touching the heart of young people to be healed from a generation, or I'm going to say two generations, of a lot of people who had no respect for God, maybe no respect for even their children or whatever. And by the way, as I begin to speak this, we'll talk about this. Do not allow any condemnation come your way as a parent if you've done some things wrong. You can't change the past. I've realized that I can't change the past. But God surely can heal my heart and absolutely, radically change my future. Yes. Amen. Whether you've been abused or you're the abuser, God has grace for both of them in Jesus' name. He gets that where Paul says that from Exodus 6:1, children, obey your parents and honor the Lord. It comes from Exodus 12:20, honor your father and your mother so that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord gives you. And what prolonged means, you know, God has given you giftings and callings and abilities and things. That's your land, so to speak. What God has given you for purpose, what God has given you for direction, those are things that God has given you. And you know what? It goes all the way back to honor. Wow. All the way back to honor. All the way back. So what was my first point if I had one? What revival America is going to look like. Number two, what does this generation look like? Many of you know we have two generations so wounded by fathers and mothers that honor is nowhere on the radar. It's not understood. It's not practiced. It's not convenient. Well, we see it in culture. Can you give me a few minutes of maybe some bad news? I'm sorry, just because of response of when we don't understand honor. It says no respect for authority. So it goes back to no honor for parental authority. What we're seeing in culture today. It wasn't taught. Broken homes, abusive homes, even religious homes. Respect and honor were not taught. You see, now our prisons are full of people who never came to understand honoring parents and authority, just as I had mentioned. It wasn't something that was taught to them, they were raised with. I'm telling you, if you look in our prison system, you can go back to some type of breakdown with parents. That's the truth. That's the truth. A breakdown with parents. District attorneys who are soft on crime, I guarantee, have a skewed understanding of honoring of parental authority, of honoring family foundations. We see school districts who are promoting transgender identity, teaching sexual perversion to children because they have no honor for their own parents, therefore they have no honor for the parents of the people they're teaching. They don't even believe in honor. They'll teach whatever they think, whatever the agenda is that's coming back from Satan, actually. But they have no honor of parents. It's because there's been a breakdown for a couple generations now of what honoring mothers and fathers are like. Amen? Amen. Amen. Where there is an epidemic of pornography in society, you find a disdain and no respect and honor for women. So this isn't just for dads, this is for mothers too. Where you have an epidemic of pornography in society, you will find a disdain and disrespect for women and for mothers. You know, you can see it in the church, where we struggle to honor one another, no honor for pastors or any type of church authority. Pastors and church not honoring those they serve. When we have an improper understanding of honoring of parents, it shows up in church in every way. Maybe this will look familiar. People either blindly serve church leadership with an unhealthy understanding of authority. Their whole life evolves around church. They're basically devoted slaves to church leadership. They feel secure under this type of leadership because it's what they grew up with. It's not about relationship. It's all about duty. This is one thing. If you think about your walk with God, it's all about duty, or it's a relationship. Some people, it's all about duty. What have I done? What am I going to do? What do I need to do to please God? And then there's relationship. Man, I'm serving Him out of my acceptance already, out of me being pleasing to Him already. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Or they can't really receive from a pastor. They had no proper training or nurturing. And so that receiving from a pastor or a mentor is impossible. They have a problem with all authority, and it goes back all the way to parental. The Old Testament law was about duty, the character of God. Amen. The grace of God is all about relationship, the love of God. You know, as we have seen, here's what I'm going to talk about. We have a point three. We have an epidemic of generational iniquity. But thank God He's moving in this nation. Amen. Thank God He's moving on hearts. So I was reading this scripture and got me thinking, because I'm talking about all these things with parents and children. Exodus 34, 5 and 7. We have an epidemic of generational iniquity. Exodus says, now the Lord descended in the cloud. And this is he talking to Moses had said, Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. He says, and so God says, he put him in the cleft of the rock. It says, but now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there, with Moses, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Amen. Aren't you glad he's merciful and gracious? Long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, hallelujah, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty. Amen. We need a Savior. And then it says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Wow. To the third and fourth generation of those who were walking with God, not serving God, it seems like they've walked away. So you have this generational sin that is dogging somebody. Maybe you, because of your relationship with your parents, maybe something has dogged you. It can dog you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And it feels like you're under this generational curse of pain, hurt, anger. But you know, Malachi 4:6 is about breaking that chain. You know, we read that, and you see that in society today. Don't you see it? I see it clear. But Malachi 4:6 again, it says, and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. You know, the chain to the past, that way of thinking, that disdain of the past, that replaying of those hurtful, devastating events and words you either heard or spoke is this iniquity visited to the third and fourth generation? That's what we see in society. But you know what? There's an answer. When we see homes, you know, you think about in the inner city or areas where there's no understanding of honor or respect of parents, where parents aren't even there. Amen. Can God heal that and restore that? In this generation where people need to see the power of God, this is what I'm saying. You can be a person that knows all about divine healing. You can be a first person that knows all about God's provision. You can know all these things, outward things, and still have a heart that's not healed by the Spirit of God. I'm so thankful that I think in this generation, God is going right for deliverance and healing of young people. There is an answer. So you see this fourth, going down to the fourth and third and fourth generation. Doesn't sound like there's much hope, is there? But there is an answer. I love this scripture. This scripture is for you and I, this group of scriptures. It's from Jeremiah 31. And I'm going to start to read in verse 21. It says, this is the thing. The people will no longer quote this proverb. So this is Jeremiah. He's talking about the future. He's talking about today. He's talking about today, you and I. It says the parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. It means that thing of that generational curse of going down to third and fourth generation, meaning that what the parents had done and the grandparents, their kids and grandkids seem to still pay the price. They're carrying those same wounds that are just carried down from generation to generation to generation. So when it says that the parents have eaten their sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. But this is what the Lord said. This is what's going to change. All people will die for their own sins. Those who eat the sour grapes will be the ones whose mouths will pucker. It means each individual, each generation is going to be responsible for their own doings. Did you know that's good news? Did you know that's good news? And it continues, it gets badder. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Can you say new covenant? I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and then brought them out of the land of Egypt. It's not going to be like the old covenant. They broke that covenant. Though I love them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. You know what that means? That instructions about honoring your mother and father? Those instructions that I'll put deep in your heart. I'll give you the ability to forgive everything from the past. I'll give you the ability to be healed from everything that holds you back. I'll give you the ability to be exactly what God has called you to be. All those past things. How can you honor your mother and father on your own self? I used to think that I understood honoring my mother and father until I saw our founding pastor, his interactions, I've said this before, with his parents. Then I realized how harsh I was with my parents because, you know, sometimes we feel, you know how it is, we feel justified. Or you can become, that's impatient. Or whatever it is, and he showed me, so by him showing me what honoring his mother and father, I didn't know, I read that. But when I saw that, something went down deep in my heart. And then that honoring, I understood what it meant. That you can be in a situation where you can, regardless of what you've been through, that with a heart of honoring, not in forgiveness, not saying you have to put up with abuse, but every ill effect is broken. No more of this sins of the fathers being passed down to the third and fourth generation. No, God says I'm have a new covenant, and now I'm putting that honor your mother and father down deep in your heart, and I will allow you by the Spirit of God to understand exactly what that means. So many people, their lives without realizing it, live a life that's affected by not understanding honoring. I've talked to people in their 30s, their 40s, and their 50s, plagued in life, and it goes back to not understanding honor of a parent. You know, when you have people that come in that who maybe didn't have good parents or any parenting, did you know that's what the body of Christ is for? Brothers and sisters together, big brothers, fathers, sisters, mothers, teaching honor, teaching love, teaching respect. Did you know that is the foundation, according to Malachi, of what needs to be done to have a generation come into revival? Did you know that? That is the key of a generation coming into revival. We could have all the manifestations we want, and I'm not against those, but if this doesn't happen, it's all a ruse. The life will still be plagued. Their lives will still not have, they'll carry certain things their whole life, wondering why they struggle with that. Hallelujah. But this new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. Hallelujah. And I will write them on their heart. That's good news. It won't be written on a tablet where we're trying to wonder, what does this mean? How do I do this? How do I practice this? No, it's something the Spirit of God puts in us, and it becomes part of our walk that we cannot do. Did you know that a wounded heart, or those things that have happened to people that affect them inside, did you know man can't heal that? Did you know only the Spirit of God can heal that? He only can bring true restoration. He's the one that can truly set the captive free. So many of our captives today and young people starts right back with their parents. Right back with their parents. Right back with their parents. This is the new covenant. I will put their instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen. You might be saying, well, that's just talking about Israel. Well, I don't know. Let's look at Romans 2, 28 and 29. Romans 2, 28 and 29. It says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. Let me just stop. We know that God's got Jewish, you know, the Jewish people. We know Israel. We know that according to Romans chapter 11, that the full number of the Gentiles, will, you know, most of us in here will come in. And then it says all of Israel will be saved. What he's talking about here is the way to salvation is the same for both Jews and Gentiles now. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outwardly in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. See, the letter, the law can't do it. It's a circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. And his praise is not from people, but from God. Amen. You, this promise that we're talking about, that is talking absolutely about you and I. Amen. Do you love him this morning? And then it must continue in that. It says, and they will not, Jeremiah 31, 34, and it says, they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already, says the Lord. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Aren't you glad that your sins have been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness? Amen. 35, it is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day. By the way, just a few extra scriptures. Who made heaven and earth, in case you're wondering? It is the Lord who provides the sun to light the day and the moon and the stars to light the night, and who stirs the sea into roaring waves. Amen. His name is the Lord of heaven's armies. And this is what he says. I am as likely to reject my people, Israel, as I am to abolish the laws of nature. This is what the Lord says. Just as the heavens cannot be measured and the foundations of the earth cannot be explored, so I will not consider casting them away for the evil they have done. I, the Lord, have spoken. That means everything in the past is gone, forgiven. See, the Satan, who is the slanderer, brings those things up. Jesus, who washed them away, they're in the sea of forgetfulness, both for child and for parent. If you repent, God forgives you of your sins. His word becomes life inside of you. He begins to reveal his goodness to you. He begins to reveal his love. He allows you from past every past relationship to receive healing and to release individuals. Amen? Ephesians 6 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you and that you may live long on the earth. So that it may turn out with you. I'd mentioned that you can live long on the earth. And, you know, I've seen 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old who love the Lord, but it did not turn out well for them because of a wounded soul, which turned into resentment, a life of pain, a life of anger, not able to have healthy, enjoyable relationships. One thing you can know when God's doing a work in your lives, it's healthy relationships. It's having a healthy relationship with a spouse. Hallelujah. It's having healthy relationships to the best of your ability with children. And let me just say, as far as relationships that have been broken, did you know God can restore all things? I said, do you know God can restore all things? Amen. Amen. So what God, you know, in Isaiah 42:3 says, a bruised reed he will not break. That's talking about a bruised, hurt soul. And a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. You might be here today and feel like you're just a smoking flax. You're barely hanging on. But you know, God won't cast you away. God wants to bring you close. He's a loving father. He's a kind father. He's a forgiving father. Man, he loves you. He doesn't keep bringing up your mistakes. That's the enemy. He loves you. Amen. So it's work of God's love in you. The healing of a heart, which means mind, will, and emotions. It can be somebody else besides the parent. It can be ex-spouse, whoever, that you need to say, I forgive them and I let that go. I'm not going to allow that to hinder me anymore. You know, some of these things don't just happen suddenly. They can take time for God to bring healing into somebody's soul. It can be a parent or parents that are long dead. So how's this work? Romans 12:14 says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Maybe there's some people that you need to forgive and bless them. I say, Lord, I pray, I bless them and ask that you would touch them if they're alive, and that Lord, that you would do a work in their lives. That's God's desire. Did you know that? People may say, yeah, but you don't know what happened or whatever. Forgive. Love no holds, no records of wrong. How do we know that if we haven't forgiven or if we still have some pain and hurt, we'll keep bringing it up. When it's no longer in your conscience and it's no longer in your mind, what I've learned is that's gone. And that area of woundedness then can be healed. That area of woundedness can be healed. Are you still out there?
Yes.
Some of you are looking at me like, what is going on here? Lord, help me. Bless them and pray for them. Amen. Pray for that person. If it's somebody long dead, just say, I'm not holding on to this anymore. And it may take time. You just say, Lord, I'm letting this go. I bless them. Lord, I pray that you would, that your hand would be upon them. I pray that they would find you, those wounded, that Lord will heal your heart. He'll give you a sight and sweet relationship in him in an area that's been painful or that's covered over just by religion. It'll actually become real. It'll be something that'll be sweet in your inner person. Amen? Pray for them. Say out of your mouth, I forgive them. I forgive them. You might have to do it 50 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, but every time that comes to your mind, you say, I forgive them. I release them. I no longer. See what happens when it's somebody else's fault. We never grow, and we never see the areas where God wants to grow us in, to deliver us in, turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the children to the father. That doesn't even necessarily that a relationship has to be restored. That is not what it's saying. But it's an understanding of forgiveness and that pain being healed from a heart. Amen? Like I said, some of the most, and it says in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Something about when we release people, it brings a tenderness to our heart. Man, it'll bring a tenderness. If there's anything I want in this day and this hour, saints, is I want to have a tenderness to the Lord. My number one goal before even being up here is, Lord, I want my heart to be tender in every area. If my heart doesn't become more tender in areas that I don't even recognize yet, I don't want to be up here. I don't want this to be my goal. I don't want this to be the end place that I've arrived. No, I've arrived as I begin to understand his character. As he begins, he sticks closer to the brother, but some areas of my life, I don't recognize that yet. I don't recognize that yet, but I will. I don't know about you, but I will. Man, I plan on continue to draw closer to him. Amen. Some of the most religious people I have known through the years have a wounded soul, a resentful soul that can speak in tongues, prophesy. They know the doctrine of divine healing and prosperity, but going all the way back to parents or the lack of parents, a wound that was never healed. And it's covered over with religious activities, covered over with religious jargon. You know, they can say everything right, but the heart issue. See, the Lord Jesus, when he says that he will put his spirit inside of you and give you a new heart, means that all those things are passed away. All things have become new, and God is teaching us to release all those things and hold on to him. But see, society, you got to be careful. Society, young people say no. In the last days, it says there'll be those that'll be unforgiving, that'll be disobedient to parents, that will hate any type of authority. That's the day we live in. And I guarantee you, for a couple generations, it goes back to parenting, children. It goes back to that absolutely without a doubt. What did he say in Malachi, that last verse? I will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me say to parents who have done things wrong and carry guilt, I've done some things wrong. A lot of things. In the name of religion. And it didn't bring healing, it brought hurt. Let me say to parents who have done these things wrong and carry guilt for your failures, if you're willing to admit that, just, you know, you ask for forgiveness. You still stand for the truth. Don't respond out of guilt. Many parents respond out of guilt. Walk in love. Amen. Walk in love. Don't constantly bring up things that your parents did to you, and don't constantly bring up things that your kid have done. That's how you keep those things alive. That's when you know there's a problem. There's a problem if you keep bringing up the past. You know that you're not healed. You know that there's going to be some struggles that you're not going to get past. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care what choir you're in. Until you let the Lord, let the past be the past. Forgive. You go on. You can't answer for parents, but you go on in the Lord. Your parents may be long dead. You may be 50, 60, 70 years old, a youngster. And the Lord could say to you today, let that go. Honor that dead parent. Honor that parent still that you think doesn't deserve it. See, when it says honor your mom and dad, it didn't say, but here's the exclusions. Turn to the next page, chapter 6, paragraph C, appendix A. Here's your exclusions. Don't we want exclusions? Anytime we deal with hurt or pain, don't we want exclusions? You know, the problem is our flesh, our mind, the enemy will give us a good reason to have exclusions. And in that area, in a little area of our lives, it can keep us trapped. It can keep us trapped. See, I believe that Malachi 4:6, turning hearts, means this. Means no more wounds, hallelujah. No more resentment. No more blaming others. No more painful memories, hallelujah. No more constant anger. No more controlling others. No more allowing others to control me. No anxiety around groups of people. No more fear of success. No more lack in my finances. No more love of money. No more having to prove myself. No more to try to earn somebody's love. No more hate. No more allowing myself to go from one unhealthy relationship to another. No more sexual promiscuity. No more jealousy because I was raised that I amounted to nothing, because now God is teaching me how to be free, because my Father God lives in me. and has put his spirit in me and put his law in my heart where I can honor healthy relationships. I can say, thank you, Lord, that I was born right where I was born, right in the family I was born in, and have zero effect on me because of the grace and love of God. I am free. Now, to me, that's revival. That's revival. Knowing God's forgiveness, knowing how to forgive, that is knowing his love. Let me just mention one, as the worship team comes, I want to mention one other thing. You know, they say that David was a man after God's own heart. I've heard people say it's because he repented quickly, but I don't think so, because when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, I don't think he repented quickly. That dragged on for a year or maybe two. But here's one reason why I think that David, who we think was rejected by his family. Do you remember when he was to be anointed king? And Samuel said, hey, you know, I'm going to have a meal with you, or have dinner with you. Bring all your children. And he passes before each son, and God says, nope, this isn't it. This isn't the one. This isn't the one. This isn't the one. And then Samuel says, is this all the kids you got? Well, I got the youngest. He's out watching the sheep. The most famous and the most important person in all of Israel at that time, Samuel, wasn't important enough to have David there. Boy, I wish that was the end of David's struggles. But let me show you how God taught David. I believe a lot of why David became the man of God he was is because he learned how to honor authority, honor leadership, honor police officers, firemen, how to not hold any unforgiveness, how to let it go. David honored Saul. Listen to this. Saul was like a father to David. Let me just have one more minute of your time. Saul was like a father to David. Saul treated David tenderly, and then he turned on him. Saul became demon-possessed. Saul slowly began to strip David of all his dignity. He was a captain of the army and just kept demoting him. Kept demoting him. He didn't deserve that. Kept demoting him. He was captain of his army, then he demoted him. Saul betrothed his daughter to marry David and then gave his daughter to another man. Then Saul began to hunt David like an animal to kill him. Could you imagine the pain that David must have felt in that relationship? But David honored this man. Man, it's a type and shadow of what Christ does to a life for you and I. It's a type and shadow. Man, it's such a type and shadow. Matter of fact, when he had opportunities to kill Saul, he didn't take him. And then there was this Amalekite. Saul had died with his sons in battle. And this Amalekite says, I'm gonna get some recognition. So he comes to David and he says, I found Saul hurt in battle and I finished him off. But it was a lie, he didn't. Saul had fell on his own sword. But this Amalekite said, I finished him off for you, David. I got rid of your enemy. How much did David honor Saul? He says, man, you shouldn't have told me that. How did you lift your hand against God's anointed? You just gave your own death sentence. When this guy is trying to get recognition, thought, man, surely David is going to be glad to hear that I killed Saul. And it says, he says, man, you just spoke your own death sentence, and that guy was killed. He says, how were you able to kill God's king, who had become an absolute demon-possessed crazy man? And he says, how did you raise your hand against God's anointed? He says, it came out of your own mouth, and he was killed right then and there. And then he wept for Saul. He wept for him. Amen. He had such a heart of trusting God that he did not allow all of those things that happened to him to come in and affect his soul. Can you stand up with me? Amen. Lord, thank you for hearts that honor those that even woundest us the most. Thank you for a heart like King David. Father, thank you for a heart like what God says, hey, look, from now on, there's not this generational curse. You're responsible for your own behavior. But the good news, he says, man, because my spirit lives in you and the word of God lives in you, you can let go all of those resentments, all those hurt and pains. Just give them to me. You know, sometimes areas of our lives, I've come to realize that areas in my life that have plagued me go back to my dishonoring that are still in my life that I earned from a young age. But thank you, Jesus. He showed me those things and he changed me. And he's still changing me. And so even as God was showing me this thing, my mom is a widow and lives next to me. And say, Lord, help me purposely, with purpose, to honor her.
Amen.
To honor her and take care of her, even when it's not convenient. Even when I want to bark back. Even when I want to say, hey, let me tell you how it is. But to honor her. Father, we thank you for honoring the house today. Thank you that honoring, Lord, we thank you for healing hurts in Jesus' name. We thank you for every hurt by the Spirit of God, Lord, that you begin to minister to people. Today, the coming weeks and months, Lord, we thank you for complete healing in the inner man. And Lord, for parents who've done things that they're guilty of, Lord, we thank you that the blood of Jesus washes our guilt and our sin and our stain away. Hallelujah, amen. And we can declare and speak love and righteousness over those children. Amen.
Amen.
Even if they're not receiving it,
right.
Do it. Honor them. Love them. And for those parents, begin to forgive. Man, there's people 70 and 80 years old that need to say, I'm finally letting those go. When I feel those bad feelings, those unforgiving feelings, bring healing and forgiveness in every area. Lord, I thank you that this move of God is restoring the fathers to the sons and the sons to the father in a heartfelt way, even if you're not with them.
Amen.
But with the heart says, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You're my father. Thank you, Jesus, I forgive. Thank you, Jesus, that I honor and respect authority. Lord, help me to be a leader. Lord, teach me how to be a leader in my home. Teach me how to be a leader, Father God, in the community. And that comes from letting all those things break off of us. To me, saints, the Word of God says that's what revival is going to be in this next generation. Father, we thank you and we praise you for that, how we love you, how we worship you, how we thank you for your anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. We thank you for the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We thank you for the truth today, setting people free. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit ministering to people's heart today. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Amen and amen.